Shalom and welcome again to another edition of Seekers of Meaning, the podcast of Jewish Sacred Aging. I'm your host, Rabbi Richard Address. These podcasts are presented to help explore the impact of the longevity revolution on our congregations and our community. And we invite you to visit our website, JewishSacredAging.com, and the Jewish Sacred Aging Facebook page, as well as inviting your comments and suggestions to me, Rabbi Address, at JewishSacredAging.com. And on the website, you can, if you wish, leave a voicemail message by clicking on the voicemail message icon on the right-hand side of the homepage. Very special guest today on this edition of Seekers of Meaning, and we welcome all the way from Israel, Tanya Yarkoni, to talk about a project that is emerging called Resilient, and the website resilient with a Z.co. Tanya, welcome. Welcome. Shalom.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
How are you today?
I'm good. I'm good. Obviously, it's not an easy day in Israel, but I'm fine and safe on
good.
The north side
of Tel Aviv.
Yes.
This is being recorded in the middle of November, even though it's going to be posted later. And if you remember the news from then, rocket attacks coming into Israel. So before we started to record, we were having this conversation about stuff like that. So it's as we both agreed, it's never dull in Israel.
No, never dull.
Resilient. What is it?
Yes.
On one of the sites that I looked at, you write it is a science-based mental health coaching platform for family caregivers. Translate that into just what does that mean?
Well, what we're trying to do here is look at caregiving from a scientific point of view, and actually see here a trend that's taking place that is now placing caregivers as we know them really as the backbone of care, and that they enter into what we believe is a role that they're not really even aware of that they've entered into this role, and they are in no way prepared or really efficiently supported as they go through the role. So what happens is that over time, and certainly we're at this point first going to be focusing on the indication of dementia, which we know is a very long-term illness, which becomes progressively worse. Caregivers need support for the changes that are happening to the patient, but also support for themselves. And the way that we're looking at it is that we're actually saying a caregiver has many roles, which they have anyway before they started to become a caregiver. So they are, they're family members, they have professional life, they have lifestyle things that they're interested in, and now they have this caregiving role. And how do you really stay on track and keep somehow these balls all juggling in the air at the same time without enabling, allowing what is now we know is happening to caregivers is that over time they experience stress, depression, burnout. We also know today that up to 30% of caregivers, senior professionals, leave their professions or downgrade in whatever they're doing simply because they feel that the role of caregiving has taken over. So this platform is really an interplay between very specific metrics that we've developed with NYU. They have a division, a caregiver intervention division, and we're working with Dr. Mary Mittelman there. We've identified these metrics and will be following caregivers to ensure that they are not impacted by what we know as is something called role overload. And at the same time, we'll be also developing a practice for them that will enable them to build self-awareness, continue to explore ways to improve their experience, not only as a caregiver, but also in their professional lives, in their home life, in their, you know, everything else, their social lives. So we're really looking at caregiving as an emotional experience that, frankly, can be improved And it's not happening today because people are just not aware of what's going on.
So you said the word platform. Is this going to be a computer-based support system? Or
yes,
So in other words, in that little blurb that I read before from, I think the site, it said a science-based mental health coaching platform, but the coaching is on the platform or the computer, as opposed to you having a personal coach touch base with the caregiver, or is it both? And
it's actually, both. At the beginning, we won't be probably doing it from a desktop or a laptop. It will be from your phone. Uh-huh. And it will be an app. It will be an app that you'll download. You'll go through an onboarding process. You'll be allocated a coach. You'll fill out an assessment so that we really start to understand who you are and what your background is. And then you will go through a program which has been designed to assist you on the journey of caregiving, and is both informational and educational on one level, but also personalized to your specific needs and the things that you may be going through at that time.
Let me ask you a specific question, because this is all fresh in my mind because I've just finished working with a family of two daughters around 40 years of age who walk this walk with their dad. And the primary caregiver was also juggling family and job and being the primary caregiver for her father and juggling all the stress and strain. Not an unusual circumstance. Where will this person find the time to access and implement the app on the phone to support her or his caregiving journey? That's because it takes so much. You know, you've talked to enough caregivers. Every clergy person has as well, and you know they'll just sit down and look at you and says, I'm just exhausted. I have nothing more to give. I'm empty.
And that is, that place of being empty is precisely because, unfortunately, caregivers do not have the awareness of what's happening to them. So at that point where that person is so drained and exhausted and they can't do another thing, you know, which frankly, most caregivers get to that point at some point.
Right, right.
You know, you have a choice at that point. You're like, okay, I can do nothing more, or I'm actually going to have to turn this around in some way. And certainly that was my case. I got to a point where it was, you know, is miserable my new normal now? Is this, is this how it's just going to be forever? And I didn't have any tools or anybody to particularly counsel me through this, but I started my own path. And I think in the future, you know, if I had a vision of what the caregiving experience should be like, it's when we start to have an inkling that this is in fact the direction in which we're going in, rather than us only seeing ourselves as the daughter of the wife of the husband of, rather than seeing ourselves only in this role as the person who's, you know, somebody close to us is now experiencing an illness, we actually need to start to internalize the fact that we have become caregivers. And caregivers has a whole slew of implications around it. Frankly, there's already sufficient enough amount of knowledge and experience around this to for people to realize that if they don't do caregiving well, they will get to that place that you've just described. And that's a fact. And it gets, you know, and we can carry on. It can get even worse than that, frankly.
Right.
You know, your health can decline, your marriage can go down the tube. You can end up leaving your work. Your children don't speak. I mean, that there's, it just carries on, and it can be a domino effect. So what we're saying at this point is, okay, so you have a choice. Like, are you just going to keep going in that direction? I have no more time and energy for anything. What we're actually asking from you is not very much, but we are asking from you to go on a journey with us that will be an engaging journey. It will not be a time-consuming journey, because we understand you don't have a lot of time. But what we're actually trying to do over time is coach you through these experiences, provide you with a roadmap to achieve your personalized goals. Because you, as you said, you lose yourself. This right. is precisely what happens. By the end of it, people say, you know, I don't know where I am anymore. I don't know who I am anymore. And these are, this is what happens, because what's happened is this role of caregiving has just, you know, it has no mercy. It will just do and take, and you know, it doesn't take anything into consideration. And so you, as this person without that awareness, in a role that where you are feeling that you are obliged, or that you love this person, or that you are responsible for this person, you just don't have the awareness to do it on your own. And that's what this counseling stroke scientific product is going to do. It will guide you through this process. It will build that roadmap. It will help you achieve your personalized goals. It will help you maintain a work-life balance. It will keep you, it's almost like, you know, when you want to lose weight and you were to download an app and to help you lose weight, and you've like, okay, these are my goals. This is how much I want to lose. And this is, you know, and the app will sort of basically provide you with a journey of what you need to do in order to get to that place. This is, while we realize that caregiving is a much more complex experience with many more pieces to it than obviously just losing weight, it is the same in the sense that you are going through an experience with a goal, and we will develop goals with you, and with a practice of how you need to be in your day-to-day in order to ensure you don't get sucked into only the role of caregiving. So that you actually start to feel like you have some control over what's going on here. That's really the big point.
So as this emerges, and yes. From our conversation before we went on the air, resilient is due to really, if I can use the word, launch officially right after the beginning of 2020. So it's going to be web-based. I'm going to download this app. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be able to sit down with me electronically, so to speak, and walk me through goals, objectives, tips, mm-hmm. coaching on how I can deal with this, what we call in our work, this new life stage of being a caregiver, which is, mm-hmm. you know, can last a long, long, long time. Mm-hmm. Is this going to cost me anything, or is this downloaded free?
So at this point in time, we are still in our pilot phase. So right. we're looking for caregivers to test with them. Ideally, at this point, we are focused on caregivers who are still in the workplace, who do have this sort of sandwich situation of family, their own children, now looking after a parent, but it could also be more of a senior professional who's also looking after you know, their husband or wife in this situation now. But that's our first sort of focus, but we will be obviously increasing that over time. And certainly if there are people who are interested in joining us at this point for our pilot, we would love to have you on board. It won't cost you a penny. And I believe they will benefit from it, because there will just be so much information and ways for them to sort of look at what they're going through in a completely, frankly, enabling them to transform.
Right. So if somebody is listening to this and listens to this, say, well, this is something that I may want to get involved with, and you can use me as a part of the pilot, how do they How do they get in touch with you?
So they can just email me. So my email is just Tanya, T-A-N-Y-A, at resilient.co.
Yes, and let's make sure, just spell resilient.
R-E-Z-I-L-I-E-N for Nancy, T for Tom, dot C for Charlie O.
Right. So are you looking for any, and if I'm not mistaken, this pilot is being developed out of NYU and their program, correct?
Right. So, well, it's not their program. We're working with
them.
I'm working with, as I say, Dr. Mary Mickelman, who heads up their caregiver intervention research, and she is working with us to develop this pilot, this app. Yes.
So you mentioned in the beginning that the first rollout of this focus is going to be with dementia and Alzheimer's.
Yes.
It's exploding in the United States. Are you seeing the same thing in Israel? And follow up, we're being told by all the official organizations that as boomers age out in the next 20 years, there just are not enough qualified professional caregivers to take care of us. Are you seeing the same thing?
We have a different situation in Israel in that Israel is more socialized in that regards. Social Security does provide you with money and also allows foreign help to come into the country and assist you, live with you in your home. It's a huge, huge benefit. And frankly, I have a child with special needs. I have someone living in my home with me, and it has really enabled me to live and work and has taken a huge amount of pressure off me, for sure.
So let's be clear about this. In the Israeli system, if I enter this life stage as a caregiver, the Israeli medical system will provide me with somebody to assist in my caregiving needs, and will cost me no money.
Well, it always ends up costing you some money, but it's significantly reduced. So let's say it takes over time, but if you get a brand new caregiver, professional aid in your home, most of that budget sort of then will be covered by the state. There are obviously additional payments that need to be made, but the sort of core salary is mainly covered.
Yeah, yes. Well, there are a few differences between that system and the United States system.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering whether, as you pilot this and roll this out, whether, you know, that what impact that will have. Are you're looking to focus resilient just in the United States or both US and Israel?
Well, it's interesting because we have actually been also approached in Israel to potentially work here as well. Even with all of this support that Israel gives people to families with loved ones with chronic illnesses, or disabilities in my case, there is still a huge amount of burden and strain on the caregiver, on the primary caregivers in the home. And they understand that this emotional role overload piece still needs to be addressed regardless of whether you have someone living with you, which it obviously enables you to go out to work in the morning, but still doesn't take away the responsibility that you have to provide care to this person.
So the anticipated rollout for this, you're going to request if there's a caregiver who wants to be part of this to contact you. You mm-hmm. gave them, you mentioned the email, and when we publicize the podcast, we usually will put some of that contact information up when we air the podcast. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, however, if I remember the material that I read on the initial website, this is really personal for you, isn't it?
That's right. It all came from my own experience as a family caregiver for my daughter, who is now 12 years old. And as I mentioned earlier, I was utterly unprepared for the huge changes that happened in my life, and felt that over time I started to realize that the caregiving experience was something that needed to be improved. I have a 12-year-old daughter who has special needs and requires 24/7 care. And I did not identify myself as a caregiver. I was her mother, and still am, and felt a huge amount of responsibility to take care of her, and didn't really understand the impact that caregiving was having upon me, and over a period of time found myself becoming increasingly low and down, and then eventually actually sort of I didn't leave my work, but I just felt that the demands of caregiving required me to be more and more in my home. And at some point, just became a full-time caregiver. And it was really only in the last few years that I started to sort of think about caregiving as something that, frankly, we are not encouraged to address. And what happened to me as a caregiver was that after a few years of being in this role and feeling very low, I started to attend different courses and go to therapy and started to do a lot of work on myself. And through this process, started to realize that actually, and this sounds quite strange, but actually I was feeling better. And after several years of working on myself, was feeling better than I'd ever felt before. And that was not what I anticipated. You know, when I first started out as a caregiver, I thought, this is a lifelong role. And I was very unhappy about it and very worried about it. And over time, I got skills and training and sort of, frankly, life-changing techniques that I learned that enabled me to start looking at my caregiving in a very different way. And that sort of brought up for me the whole issue of, well, what is challenge? And is challenge always a bad thing? And how can we start to look at caregiving in a different way? And that was really the beginning of Resilient, was starting a process of thinking about how can we help caregivers look at their experience in a different way and give them the tools and the insight and the awareness to do that. And that's how I got to where I am today.
There seems to be in my work with caregivers, and in it's one of the more requested sessions that we do as part of Jewish Sacred Aging. There is this, sometimes people aren't aware of it, this encroaching sense of isolation and being cut off from just normal, sometimes social interaction. So I would imagine what you're saying also will this process that you're developing also encourage this, you know, the breaking down of that isolation, which is really, really, really tough. I mean, the whole respite care, I can't tell you, I'm sure you've had the same thing. And I would just like to be able to have 4 hours to go out to a movie, to have lunch with my friends, just to break this challenge. How are you envisioning the process, the app, to engage that challenge of isolation?
Well, in this ideal world of starting to look at your life and understanding this is my role. And while I completely understand that there are many financial, frankly, issues around caregiving as well that need to be taken into consideration, I don't think yet that we are all fully thinking through how we can get that respite care, or even though we'll say, I would love to do this, perhaps we're not yet fully understanding how necessary this really is in order for us to keep doing what we're doing. Because at some point, what happens, and the statistics are showing this, that if you don't do those things, your outcome will be worse. And while you feel that at this point in time, you're in a better state than the person you're taking care of, that over time will no longer be the case. And, you know, frankly, what happens when the caregivers themselves become sick? So we're not looking, what we're trying to do is help you actually really start to take your life back to any degree that you can, and also support you with what you have on your plate right now. Respite care is certainly something that everybody needs, and it's not realistic to imagine that a person can only keep doing this. They will burn out. So that's the reality. So what can we do, and how can we use our community, and what services are available? And the whole process needs to be laid out for a person so that they not only see, the things that they need to focus on, but also actually action items that need to be provided to make this happen.
So as part of the coaching process and the app that you're developing in Resilient, will you also support the message of, in the greater category of self-care, including things like nutrition and exercise and these types of things, which we're learning are very, very crucial to maintaining one's health as you're dealing with all this stress of caregiving? Are you going to provide, on that app, will there be nutrition and exercise tips and this, that, and the other thing from other, is that part of the coaching technique that you're after?
Yes.
Okay.
So the actual practice, each week there'll be a practice, and based on who you are, your age, your health, and you'll be setting your own goals as well. So, but it's absolutely, exercise, sleep's a huge factor,
right?
So for sort of ensuring that you can actually get through your day, there will be aspects of the metrics that will be sort of checking to see how you're dealing with certain aspects of caregiving, but then there will be very specific practice things that you will need to do every day or a few times a week in order to ensure that you stay on track. And certainly exercise and eating well is part of this. But I often found that when people said to me, you need to take care of yourself, it didn't really speak to me. I understood what they were saying, but I was in fight or flight. I was like, look, I'm looking after someone else here who really needs my help. And if I don't get them on track here, I'm going to seriously suffer for the rest of my life. So right. That was sort of, it was very hard for me to see, why or what self-care actually meant. And I know a lot of caregivers struggle with that. They almost laugh at, the doctors when the doctor might say, you need to take care of yourself too. Or they're not really sure what that means. Or I'm trying to, but this is all going on as well. So what our app is doing is really breaking that down for people so that they can understand this much more clearly.
So we've been talking with Tanya Yarkoni and the development of this very interesting new approach to caregiving, a coaching technique through the internet or downloading an app called Resilient. You can access it on R-E-Z-I-L-I-E-N-T.co. Tanya, this is very exciting, and you're anticipating as the major launch of this after the pilot in 2020. So this is a very, very exciting adventure for you, and we wish you continued good luck. This is we're just anxious to see how this goes. I'm sure you are too, but certainly the idea of personalizing an approach and tailoring a care, because as you know, and we've seen as well, every clergy person who deals with this people with caregiving in their community, there is no paradigm. Everybody does it differently. It's very, very, very personal. And if you're able to personalize this through your process, through your resilient, you'll probably be able to benefit a huge number of people. So Tanya, thank you, and Hatzlacha, and just stay safe in Israel. And I appreciate your time and your dedication to this is a real need. So thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
And to all of you, thank you for listening to today's edition of Seekers of Meaning, the podcast of Jewish Sacred Aging. And again, we welcome your comments and suggestions to me, Rabbi Address, at jewishsacredaging.com. And we also invite you to visit our Facebook page. We also continue to appreciate your support of our work. And if you'd like to make a tax-exempt donation to help further the work of Jewish Sacred Aging and these Seekers of Meaning podcasts, go to our website, jewishsacredaging.com, and click on the donate icon at the top of the page, and we greatly appreciate your support. Seekers of Meaning is recorded at the studios of Lubetkin Media Companies here in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. And we thank our producer, Steve Lubetkin, who will be bringing you a word of greeting about one of his projects as well. Thank you again for listening. I'm your host, Rabbi Richard Address, and I look forward to greeting you on our next Seekers of Meaning. Shalom.
Turn your podcasting passion into profits. The book, The Business of Podcasting, describes the business side of podcasting, including how to become a professional podcaster. You'll learn about positioning your clients' expertise through podcasting, too, plus the best business models, how to find clients, and much more. Visit thebusinessofpodcasting.com.